Ready to stop spinning your wheels and start moving your business forward? You're in the right place. On each episode of Accelerate to Achieve, we'll discuss a crucial step in the journey, offering tips and advice that you can apply immediately within your own company. From financial management to customer success to digital transformation, we'll cover it all while providing leadership lessons from top industry insiders. In just 15 minutes, you'll be inspired to build momentum through action and achieve incredible results. Welcome to Accelerate to Achieve, the podcast that moves you from question to answer and idea to execution. Hello, and welcome back to the latest edition of the Accelerate to Achieve podcast. I'm your host, Ryan Walter, the founder of Parallels Advisory. Our light continues to shine bright as we're joined by another inspiring guest in our Spotlight series. Does it ever feel like you're never getting to the finish line? In fact, is it getting farther away every day? Our guest today is an expert in helping businesses close the execution gap and will help us unpack why running the business side of our business can be so hard. Now, I am absolutely thrilled and I'm looking forward to our conversation today with our guest, Avik Roy. And now, he knows that lasting success for businesses is impossible without great execution. As the founder and managing director of Morphosys, he created the organization to guide business leaders and leadership teams to close the gap. He brings more than 25 years experience leading a diverse and wide range of businesses that he's going to share with us today. Thank you so much for joining us.
Hi, Ryan. Good afternoon. Thank you for having me. And I am delighted to be a guest on your podcast. I have been impressed by your podcast and I have listened to a few of the episodes or I don't know what the right term is, chapters. And I have been very taken by the value it brings to the audience you serve. You have spoken to me in the past about your target audience. So I am really excited and looking forward to an engaging discussion.
Well, the check will be in the mail for that soon. So I appreciate the comment. And I appreciate the fact that you shared the feedback. We're always looking for it. And I know you will just add to that legacy. And I'm looking forward to everything you have to talk about. In fact, I know I'm really excited by some of the things that are going to be said. So this is going to be a great episode, edition, whatever you want to call it. We're not preferential. So you can choose your words. I'd like to start with a little bit of the teaser, which was your mission to eliminate the execution gap. Can you just tell to our listeners, really, what does that mean? And where do we see it rear its head often?
Great question, Ryan. Let me set the stage and break all the rules by asking you a quick question, if you will allow me. And that is, briefly, Ryan, what do you understand by execution? And the reason why I ask that is because I know that it is a topic that is also near and dear to your heart.
Well, I'll tell you the way I define it. To me, execution is delivering on what you say you want to do and actually completing the work. I often think of execution as the difference between the plan collecting dust on the shelf and a year later having the results you expected. That gap is always the challenge I see so many organizations deal with. And I'd like to say it's often the part of the iceberg that goes unseen. It's 90% of the work and effort, but only the top, which is really the planning, ever gets appreciated. So that's how I look at execution.
That's awesome. I think we can just reverse roles and make life very easy for me. I'll just keep asking questions and you'll answer everything that I was going to say. So let me summarize with my simple definition of execution, which is very complementary to what you said. It's probably saying the same thing in different words, which is that execution circumscribes everything that needs to happen in order to turn an idea, an intention, a strategy, or a plan into reality. My mission, as you described it, is, I would like to believe it is, to help my clients and businesses and leaders to close the execution gap, to eliminate the execution gap. But my mission is truly to help them minimize the execution gap. And the reason why I say that is because kind of like the friction that exists in the air, right? You just can't get rid of it. It's very, very difficult, almost impossible to absolutely eliminate the execution gap. But I'm getting ahead of myself. Let me explain. An execution gap is the difference between what leaders set out to achieve and what their organizations actually deliver. Let me give you a quick example. Let's just pretend there is a leadership team, CEO, and seven top leaders, total of eight, and they are thinking about their organization. They know their business, they know their team, they know their customers, and they say, hey, in the next 90 days, we should be able to get A, B, C, D, and E done. Five things, you know, whatever those five things might be. Fast forward 90 days, and if we just for argument's sake pretend January 1st was the date when, you know, the eight leaders set their goals. Fast forward to March 31st, 90 days later, and in many situations, in fact, in most situations, you'll probably have of the five things, A, B, C, D, and E, A is 80% complete, B is done, C hasn't started, E is about 50% done, and that's probably, you know, one of the better outcomes. And so that gap between the January 1st and the March 31st snapshot is the execution gap. And you had also talked about, you know, how it manifests. Generally, the simplest way to think about the execution gap in real business terms is whenever results fall short of what was expected.
You know, it's interesting. You mentioned getting stuff done. And, you know, my head initially goes to, I think everybody thinks they get stuff done. I don't know anybody who doesn't think they're not busy with a lot of things going on. So could you perhaps elaborate a little forward on what it means to really get things done? And what does that actually look like if you're highly effective?
Great question. Let me just, maybe I'll start by saying a little bit, Ryan, if you're okay, and please let me know if you would like me to change course. I'd like to start by talking about what the execution gap actually looks like. It'll become easier to then, you know, talk to what it looks like when the execution gap is small. Is that okay?
Sure, absolutely.
Excellent. So the execution gap, and this will be no surprise, manifests itself in somewhat different ways in each business. You know, symptoms vary widely. Root causes are probably less varied. And I'm just going to give a sort of a analog to make the point. You know, just think about a cooking example. You're in the kitchen. You have plans to make an amazing meal for 10 guests that are coming over. And there's a lot of thinking and planning and strategizing. And then the execution begins with the trip to the grocery store. And fast forward, you know, the meal is cooked, dinner is served, the guests enjoy their meal. What would execution gap look like in this kind of contrived example? Well, let me just go over some of the possibilities. One, the execution gap could result in the dish not tasting the way that the host intended. Maybe it is that the dish doesn't look as good as the picture in the recipe. Or maybe it wasn't ready in time for dinner. Or the dish turned out great, but the kitchen was a mess, right? I know this is a little bit facetious, but let me give you three generic examples. Remember, I said that the symptoms probably look very different in different organizations, but let me give you Let me just give you three generic examples of how you might recognize symptoms that suggest there may be a sizable execution. Example number one is that there's always too little time. Everybody is perpetually buried in day-to-day stuff. Sound familiar?
Oh, yeah. I don't think that isn't top three on almost everyone's list that I talk to.
So that's one kind of chronic and ever-present symptom. Another one, number two, is constant firefighting. That's because new fires seem to get lit every day and every which way you look. Everyone is perpetually buried in addressing the one-offs. And the third of the three examples is that people are unsure about which way to go. This can take the form of too many concurrent priorities or projects. It can take the form of doubts about what are the right things to focus on, or it can even take the form of unproductive, meandering, directionless. So that's essentially some of the symptomology of the execution gap. Now, if I can talk a little bit to or speak to the root causes of the execution gap, I think it'll become very clear what highly effective execution looks like. So one of the things that I have developed over the course of my work is what I call the five dysfunctions of execution effectiveness. And obviously, if you have those dysfunctions, you have a gap. And they're basically, you can visualize them in the form of a pyramid with five horizontal layers, one stacked on top of another, right? So each layer of the pyramid kind of leads to the next one, all right? And I'm going to start with the dysfunctions and then pivot very, very quickly to what highly effective looks like. So at the bottom of the pyramid of the five dysfunctions of operational effectiveness is clarity. Most organizations have shallow, what I call shallow clarity, right? Shallow clarity basically means that, yeah, we have some idea of what we're all trying to do, but that clarity is not very deep. You know, it's almost like if you think about business being a jigsaw puzzle, right? Let's just, for conversation's sake, say a 100-piece jigsaw puzzle, and deep clarity, and I'm now pivoting between dysfunction and highly effective. Deep clarity, which is the opposite of shallow clarity, is when everyone on the team, at least the leadership team for starters, sees the same complete jigsaw puzzle, right? Oftentimes, shallow clarity means, yeah, I see pieces of the puzzle, I see sections of the puzzle, but I don't have the same picture. One of the ways that I try to suss that out is when I meet with leadership teams, I sometimes have them take a blank piece of paper, not consult with their colleagues, and write down the 3 to 5 most important priorities for their business, not for their individual roles, but for their business over the next 90 days. And it is very, very rare. I mean, I can't even think of an example to share with you in recent memory where the team comes up with a fairly consistent picture of what the 3 to 5 top priorities for the business is over the. So that's the bottom layer of the pyramid. The next layer on top of clarity is alignment. And most organizations, most leadership teams have loose alignment. What does that mean? I'm going to stick with the jigsaw puzzle metaphor. And if you think of a 100-piece puzzle and it is completely solved, that means you can see the picture clearly. Alignment is when each person's piece in the puzzle or pieces in the puzzle are color-coded and they can really see where their pieces are and what the adjacent pieces are around it. That way they know, they see the picture, clarity, and then they have the tight alignment as opposed to the loose alignment in terms of really, really understanding their role and their accountability in terms of making this picture into a reality. So that's the second layer. The layer that sits on top of alignment is focus. You can have deep clarity and tight alignment, yet the team's focus at different points in the journey may get diffused. I mean, we are all familiar with many distractions. I just talked about firefighting a short while back. So the trick is to go from being deeply clear, tightly aligned, and then not let focus be diffused. Keep focus sharp on an ongoing basis in terms of what are the important priorities for the business. On top of the focus layer, and just as a refresher, it's deep clarity, tight alignment, sharp focus. And on top of that is discipline. And obviously, I'm referring to execution discipline. Generally, discipline takes the form of having well-laid train tracks, keeping the trains running on time and swiftly and effectively changing the tracks and or the train timetable based on opportunities and challenges that emerge. And last but not least, at the top of the pyramid is results-mindedness. And basically, it is what connects the bottom of the pyramid, clarity, with the top, which is the outcome, right? And this basically takes the form of people in the organization being mindful, not just of the tactical outcomes, but being sort of connected to how those tactical outcomes move the needle on the important objectives of the business. So I don't know whether you have follow-up questions, but I hope that helped sort of identify the big building blocks of what a high-functioning, highly effective organization or business with a sort of narrow or slender execution gap looks like.
I think it does. And I appreciate you sort of taking us through that process to kind of build us up. And I'd like to just shift the conversation a little to kind of more of the personal or individual side. So, you know, let's look at that leader who might move from that traditional creator role to one where they're actually responsible for getting that alignment, getting those people. I think I've just picked your fourth or third spot in the pyramid. What unique challenges do they face? Because I know often we talk about those shifts moving from contributor to manager to leader. I'm wondering what you see from that.
Well, I mean, you know, very, very simply, I see leaders, and again, you're talking about the creator, and I'm interpreting that as the visionary, entrepreneurial leader. And in some ways, members of the executive team are also probably mini visionaries, strategists, you know, that help figure out what the business is trying to achieve. And I think the sort of synthesis between the what, if you use that as a proxy for vision, strategy, direction, and the how as the proxy for execution, I think that synthesis is really important, and often leaders lose sight of it because the focus is so much on the what, the line of business, the craft, the industry, the marketplace, right? That sort of strengthening the muscles, the skills, the smarts, the habits of the how take the backseat. And let me sort of anecdotally say that entrepreneurs and visionary leaders are brilliant, but they're also often flawed. And how is that? If you think about it, most entrepreneurial visionary leaders, not all of them, but most of them, tend to be impatient, impulsive, disruptive in their drive in going from the creator to realizing that creation. And so these entrepreneurs and visionaries are actually really great often at managing those five dysfunctions I mentioned: clarity, alignment, focus, discipline, and, you know, result-mindedness. When it comes to the individual, to themselves, right? They manage that quite effectively. They have to. But then that impatience, that impulsiveness, that drive to be disruptive often makes them poor sort of leaders when it comes to establishing a machine that does the how in ways that keeps the execution gap small, which actually serves them, but they often don't have the how vision in the same kind of sharp relief and richness that they have the what vision, right? And one of the things that I find leaders really get annoyed at me, especially visionary leaders, when I mention this, which is that from an execution perspective, especially for things that are not routine and working well, it is often important to go slow in order to go faster, or go slower in order to go faster. And you can imagine, Ryan, that for a lot of visionaries and leaders that want to achieve what they have envisioned yesterday, this is not a message to them. So I don't know if that answers your question. If there's a follow-up, please ask me. But that's what I see as the challenge to shift from the creator role to, as you have often mentioned, you know, getting everyone rowing in the same direction.
You know, no, it certainly does. And I think, you know, one of the things I'd love to sort of jump towards is one of those challenges many of these leaders and others we've talked about here have been addressing over the past few years, and that is resilience in the heart of the unknown. And I'm wondering, do you see a benefit from closing the execution gap that allows us to better deal with, you know, the surprise thing from left field, the unknown, and almost serve as a bulwark or something to help us better respond to it?
The short answer is yes. Let me just explain that a little bit. I think the whole purpose, the why of trying to execute more effectively and to close the execution gap is to create more bandwidth to work on the business. Right? If the execution, the actual machinery that gets things done in a business is working in the business, in order for leaders and teams to be able to grow, learn, improve, develop, build, there's got to be time to work on the business. And if you think about those symptoms we talked about, nobody having time, constant firefighting. Well, guess what that does? That steals that time that would be dedicated to addressing opportunities and challenges. And when you talk about surprises that come from left field, yeah, they could be opportunities, of course. But the ones that stick to our mind are mostly challenges. And I guess, you know, without really mentioning it, I think you were alluding, Ryan, to the pandemic. How can anybody ignore that in the time in which we live? And for businesses to wrap their arms around these kinds of left field opportunities and challenges, they need to have the bandwidth to get that clarity.
You know, it was interesting. Sorry to interrupt, but I actually, as you were talking, I got so excited. There was something else that you like spurred in my head, and I wanted to kind of add this in while you were going down this path. And that is, beyond the bandwidth and the thinking, part of me also goes back to when you're painted into a corner because you're running around like a chicken with your head cut off, whatever you want to say, fighting fires. Sometimes you have to make a decision with limited opportunities because you're in that. And that decision, they compound on top of each other and you're not well situated. And I'm wondering, beyond the time, does this also support the ability to make more informed decisions or not paint yourself into the corner with those decisions? And in essence, you're kind of building good upon good versus bad upon bad.
Yeah, one of the things that, Ryan, you and I have talked about that many of your listeners are probably familiar with and practice to some extent is in terms of anticipating the curveball, developing scenarios to take care of, possibilities that could either open new doors and windows for the business or close doors and windows for the business. And when you think about that kind of planning, essentially, it is very hard to do if your head is continuously and constantly buried in the day-to-day. And what I find is that having a small execution gap or narrowing the execution gap allows not just the leaders, but even the frontline staff to balance their time between in the business and on the business. You know, even if you're talking about a salesperson or a customer service person or a product person, for them to have some bandwidth to think about these curveballs in the context of their accountabilities, their role, and also to have some bandwidth to think about how can I improve my business or my part of the business independent of the unknown aspects of the future, just in terms of what is known. You know, I need to improve, I need to build, I need to address issues that are slowing me down, I need to fill potholes and remove speed bumps. And that requires a different kind of energy than break fix, band-aids, quick fixes, which is what, you know, is the currency of a less than small, or rather more than small, execution gap.
You know, as I think through this, between the five levels of the pyramid, what I need to worry about for me, what I need to worry about for the team, how do I plan, this is a pretty big and daunting challenge for some. And that often leads to people turning away because a challenge that seems too big is too much. So with that in mind, you know, what advice would you give to someone on perhaps some simple ways they can start addressing this or start picking away, you know, at this sort of large iceberg?
Great question. Let me think about it. Let me do it this way, Ryan. And please chime in if you want to sort of redirect me. There are essentially four deceptively simple things that businesses need to do to close the execution. So if it's okay with you, I would like to briefly lay those four things out and then highlight the one which I consider to be relatively the easiest amongst those four to jump on and start moving in the direction of closing the execution. So the four things, and I'm going to sort of summarize them briefly. There's, of course, a lot of richness underneath each of these to be unpacked. I mean, each of these could be a independent conversation with you. The first one is making sure that the organization is able to put in place, establish the right execution rhythm. And the rhythm is a little bit like a pulse, like a drum beat. And if there are 100 people or 300 people or 10,000 people, and if there is a pulse in the organization that everyone is playing their instruments, you know, a rhythm. That's why I call it a beat or a rhythm. Everyone's playing different instruments, but they all understand the beat. That really, really changes something subtle. And what is this execution rhythm? The execution rhythm, the most sort of visible form of the execution rhythm is the meeting pulse, right? Recurring meetings. Most of us, when we were, well, I am a consultant right now, but when I was in the business world, most people thought of meetings as a pain in the ass. In more polite language, it would be a liability. So when I talk about having the right execution rhythm, it's about creating a consistent meeting structure and pattern across the organization that is tailored to each organization, so that if I am going to Jimmy's recurring meeting and then I go to Susan's recurring meeting, right, as a member of the team or as a fellow leader, I don't get whiplash because those two meetings have nothing in common. I have to reorient and rewire my brain to be productive in Jimmy's meeting and then go and try and figure out what's going on in Sally's meeting or Susan's meeting, right? So having the right execution rhythm is really, really key piece of closing the execution gap. The second piece is something that a lot of your listeners will have heard of, which is right people, right seats. And I want to say that it is more than just a slogan. And the reason why I say that is because when I go and work with leadership teams and ask them, you know, do any of you want to not have the right people in every position in your business? I seldom see hands go up. Everyone wants to have the right people. And then I say, okay, take a blank piece of paper, don't consult your leadership team colleagues, and write down for me what the hell is a right person for your business. I have never come across clarity or alignment in terms of the definition of what is a right person. So if that is not clear, and if that leadership team is not aligned, and they are directly or indirectly responsible for hiring 100% of the talent that is coming in the door, or managing and developing 100% of the talent that is already in the shop, then you can understand that actually living right people, right seats becomes a lot more daunting. So that's number two. And the number three is sort of really distilling and cultivating the most potent performance culture for the business. Obviously, performance culture is unique to businesses, and I say performance culture purposefully because it is different from corporate culture. I mean, it is a subset of corporate culture, but performance culture is, or are, the few fundamental building blocks in terms of values and behaviors that make someone highly effective in that culture, right? So, I mean, you have probably experienced the situation where someone is a star performer in company A, then they leave and go to company B, and they become a B-plus performer or an average performer or worse. And I think that difference is primarily because of the ingredients that make up the performance culture of company A that made them a star, right? It's the same person with the same knowledge, the same skills, the same competencies going to company B and becoming less than a star. So if companies can identify what that is, the core values and the core behaviors underpinning those values, and they can purposefully and willfully and mindfully cultivate that across their organization, that's another powerful piece of closing the execution gap. And last but not least is having execution skills that are developed within the organization. And you probably recognize this, and I'm sure many of your listeners do too, which is that job skills and execution skills when you're asking someone to do more than the narrow definition of their job are two different things. And I don't come across too many businesses that invest in developing execution skills specifically across even their leadership team, let alone the next, you know, layers of management in the organization. So having described those four things, the rhythm, the right people, right seats, the performance culture, and the execution skills, let me just say that the easiest place to start is putting in place that rhythm, because it means creating a consistent, structured, highly effective, recurring meeting pulse that the people in the organization get to understand, they get to embrace, they get to participate in, and obviously, you know, the structure can't be just any structure. It has to be one that works well for this organization that we are imagining and is tailored to who they are and what they
are. Well, I know we could go on here for days. I mean, this is such a deep subject. I'm passionate about it. I really enjoy you joining us today. For those listening, we're going to include contact information, other useful information, obviously provided us in the show notes as well as some key notes from the conversation today. Again, thank you so much for joining us. It's been just a pleasure having you on.
Thank you, Ryan. It has been a delight speaking to you. And I wish we could continue this topic for another 3 or 4 hours, because I'm so passionate about it.
Well, that's always a sign of a good podcast where there's always more to say. So we appreciate it on this edition or episode. And I hope everyone's enjoyed this latest episode of the Spotlight series. And I appreciate you all listening. And I look forward to joining you when we meet next. Until then, I'm Ryan Walter. And remember that solving your biggest business problems begins when you decide to accelerate your approach and achieve more.
At Perils Advisory, our focus is your business's future. Having the right insight, experience, and perspective makes all the difference when tackling far-reaching issues within your company. We are here to simplify the steps, unlock your potential, and move you forward, making your vision a reality. We've helped startups achieve massive growth, mid-sized businesses navigate digital transformation, and enterprises embrace innovation. Wondering how to jumpstart your business and move it forward? Contact us to discuss your audacious goals during a complimentary consultation.
Thank you for listening to this episode of Accelerate to Achieve. If you're enjoying the podcast, please subscribe and leave a review wherever you listen. Got a question, feedback on the program, or interested in being a guest? Simply go to perils.co/A2A-podcast and send us a message. To learn more about our work or to book a consultation, visit us at perils.co/contact. Until next time, remember that solving your biggest business problems begin when you decide to accelerate your approach and achieve more.